Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, as always, in our outstanding studios. We're with special guest Duke Tobin, Executive of the Year in the National Football League. Well-earned, well-deserved, no question about it. Duke, Jesse Bates returns. That was the big story, you know, this week from a personnel standpoint. When you look at it, the three safeties that the Cincinnati Bengals have on the roster, the three wide receivers, the big three in both cases, the Bengals have on the roster, it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Well, we like it. And it's great to have Jesse back. You know, Jesse's a big part of what we do. We've said that all along. And he came back in shape and should be up to speed by the time we hit that first week against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, it's so understandable why you really like Jesse for so many reasons. He handled himself so well, you know, upon his return, and very seamless. That's, I guess, what everybody expected. And and I don't think he could have done a better job. Actually, both I applaud both the organization and Jesse for the way the whole thing has been handled and smooth sailing. It's been great.
Well, yeah, you know, the key is what we all do together as the season kicks off. You know, it's the past is the past. It doesn't matter at this point. We're focused on winning football games and getting a good start that first week. So, yeah, Jesse's a great guy, and we enjoy being around him, and it's great to have him back in the building.
You know, the thing that has struck me in yesterday, I thought, was an even probably the biggest example of it to date, is how Joe Burrow is ramping up every single day. Because yesterday I saw the manipulation that Joe Burrow is so good at, you know, with his eyes, manipulating people and creating these tiny windows that open and close so quickly. He gets the ball in there before they close. I'll tell you, man, to me, he looked sharp yesterday. He looked really good. Is he advancing? Is he look like he's really, really close to the Joe Burrow we all love?
Well, he's still Joe Burrow, no matter what it is. And as he goes, we go. And we are aware of that. And so far so good. It's great to have him back participating in full practice, you know, and it makes a difference for the emotions of the team and also the execution of the team. So it's great.
The practice against another opponent for Joe was big as well, obviously, because the Rams, they run, you know, a different kind of defensive schematic, and they run a 3-4 type deal, but it'll morph into other looks. And they've got such a good pass rush that they run this shell defense that, you know, comes downhill at you, and it's a little bit different look. And for him to get reps and with the skill guys that he's timing things up with was good work this week, wasn't it?
I think so. You know, that's why you want to practice against another team to get different looks, to get different people. It's not only good for the quarterback, it's good for everybody. It's good for the offensive line. It's good for the defensive line. It's good for our DBs. It's good for everybody to get a look at somebody else in a controlled environment to where you can really feel like you're ready to go, week one.
So obviously yesterday's second day of the controlled environment, as you described, you know, got a little bit, there's a little bit of a dust up at the end of it, obviously. And things got a little bit out of control, but I think those, you know, controlled environment practices against another team might start to take the place of some preseason games, potentially. I know, you know, people are thinking, oh, 18-2 might be the perfect formula. And in some cases, you might want to have maybe even more than one of these kind of gatherings between a couple of organizations. What do you think about that, Duke?
Well, I know what I think isn't going to rule. I see what the plan is, and it's three preseason games. And I was thankful we got the opportunity to work against a team. Sometimes it doesn't work. It depends on your preseason schedule, the teams that you're playing, and the willingness for teams to come in and do that kind of thing. So it worked out well this year, and I'm glad we got to do it. I think we're a better team for it, and And it breaks up a little bit of the monotony about going against the same guys every week. So I'm for it. I think it's helpful if it's done the right way. And, if more of it happens, so be it. And if not, that's okay too.
And then, of course, whenever there's an issue, it becomes the story. One little scenario will override everything. And, it happened with the Patriots, obviously, and the Carolina Panthers. The Bengals had a little issue with the Rams at the conclusion of yesterday. But overall, I mean, the pluses far outweigh the minuses. And I know it was talked about within both organizations after what took place with the Patriots and the Panthers. But, I know how it is. You get out there and it gets competitive, gets heated. Things happen. Unfortunate, but things happen that way.
I would call it unfortunate. Yeah, it marred an otherwise good 2 days. And I thought the guys handled themselves fantastically the first day and for most of the second day. And, we had some guys get their nose out of joint. It's not what we want to see. It shortened what we had planned to do, which wasn't good. I would hope after some reflection that our guys and their guys, feel like it was the wrong thing. But emotions sometimes can take the better of you. I'm not a expert on fights. They happen, and it's unfortunate. I didn't want to see it. But we did get good work in, so it was still worthwhile.
Absolutely. And I do know from way back times, and up to today, the one thing when you get in that situation is keep your helmet on, man. And when those helmets come off, you see guys start swinging helmets. That's when it can get, it can get bad. And you don't want to see that kind of thing. There are no two ways about that. But when you're watching Ja'Marr Chase, work against Jalen Ramsey and the offensive line, working against Aaron Donald, it doesn't get much better than that. I mean, you talk about iron sharpening iron. That's some sharp iron that you're going against. These guys are about as good at their position as there is to offer in the National Football League. So that's invaluable work in terms of trying to get yourself better as a player, isn't it?
It is, when you can see that prior to the season, to try to, get yourself ramped up to face real guys. We're going to see real guys every week. Every team has good players. They have them in different spots every week, but there's good players all throughout our schedule. And to get a chance to see them and feel their speed and their power, their quickness, their anticipation, I think that helps everybody.
People talk about preseason games, they're so boring, they're so this, they're so that. Not to the guys playing, and not to you guys that are doing the evaluations. No. I mean, these preseason games, isn't it one of the biggest tools that you have, not only to evaluate who might be the back end of your roster and practice squad players for the Bengals in terms of what you're watching on tape with the Bengals, but every other team? I mean, everybody's looking at all 32 teams in the NFL and trying to – I mean, is this one of your busiest times of the year in terms of trying to the final, yeah. Is it putting together a roster?
Well, we're busy a lot of the year, but, this is the focus right now. And this is where the time's being put, looking at other teams' rosters and evaluating our own. In terms of our own guys, we want to see who can apply the teachings that they've had throughout the offseason, throughout training camp, and apply those to game situations and show up and make plays and be consistent with their technique and be consistent with their assignments. We want to see, it's time. We put the work in, and who's taken that in and who can apply it and be effective on game day in live football. And so from our own team standpoint, that's what we're looking at. From the other team standpoint, we get a far less look at these guys. And so sometimes you get 10 plays in the first game and 20 plays in the second game, and you've got to make an evaluation based on what you already know about the guy when he came out of college, what you've seen in past NFL seasons, and then what you see on the preseason tape. And you've got to make it. So that's a harder evaluation, less pieces to mull over. But yet we do it. And, you know, if we think that there's an upgrade to our roster somewhere, whether it be on the practice squad or on the 53, you know, those are the things that our scouts are grinding on right now and looking at every other team and seeing where their cuts are going to be and how they've played. And it might only be 15 plays. It might be 60 plays that we get to look at for these guys that we're thinking about claiming.
Yeah. And when you look at it, man, last year you make a heck of a trade. You know, I mean, Billy Price for BJ Hill. BJ Hill ends up a huge factor of the defensive football team, the AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals, and gets a contract extension. I mean, that's a hell of a trade. And is that part of the process now? And I'm sure those trades don't happen all the time, but they do happen. And it's not like it happens overnight. That process is probably over a lengthy period of time. But when you're seeing, okay, well, I'm heavy in this position and they're light in this position and they're heavy in a position I'm a little bit light. Are you going through all that process now and checks and balances and maybe feeling things out around the league? Is that what's happening with every team?
No.
No?
I'm just kidding. Of course, we're going through that process. Sure. And we stay in contact with a lot of most teams, all teams, really. And trying to see if there's commonalities with needs and surpluses. You know, we don't try to give away all of our secrets when we're talking to these guys. There are guys maybe that we really want to keep on the practice squad. There are guys that I think other teams, you know, have their eye on, as we do with their players. But we try to find those commonalities. And when you have a player that you think is an NFL 53-man roster guy that you cannot keep, and you believe that if you release him, he's going somewhere else and he's not going to be on your practice squad, then you really do try to make a push to see if there's a fit with another team that you know, and you can get some value for your own team, whether it's a player or a pick. So, you know, we go through those internal discussions on our guys. And then, you know, we talk to other teams about, you know, who they might have. And we make lists of them and we look at them and we try to see, is this guy, in our opinion, a better fit maybe than somebody else that we currently have making our 53. And sometimes they come together, sometimes they don't. You know, we want a lot for our guys and other teams want a lot for their guys. So it doesn't always come together. Player for player trades are a little tougher because you've got contracts that are involved in that. You've got different expenses that are involved in that, and the salary caps involved in that to some degree. And you know, your willingness to give up the player that maybe another team wants is involved in that. So there's a lot that goes into it. Sometimes they come together, sometimes they don't. But those are things that we're grinding on right now. We want to try to understand the other teams in the league the best we can from a personnel standpoint. And our guys are doing a great job, not only connecting with other scouts around the league, but also doing the film work.
Yeah. It's crazy. Now that there's a 16 player practice squad, there's probably fewer guys that are out in the street as such that your list would get to if you had an injury or something like that. It's like, oh, I can take this player from the practice squad and add him to my 53-man roster. I can't go practice squad to practice squad. But so you guys, a lot of study goes into who the composition of other teams' practice squads and how you have those guys rated and listed and everything. It's a very interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Well, when you can elevate guys from your practice squad to play, you need a certain amount of guys that are capable of stepping in and playing on any given week.
Right.
And so they've got to be somewhat up to speed with what you do and how you do it. And, you know, so with that in mind, a lot of times you like to have a lot of your own guys that went through camp and went through the preseason with you on the practice squad ready to go. At the same time, you're always looking to upgrade. But the guys that play well for other teams are normally going to re-sign with their team that they've been with, for the same reason that our guys would want to come back to us. It's the best chance they have to actually get on the field and play effectively.
You know, over the years, you've earned a reputation, and deservedly so, of with agents and representatives. Look, when your guy comes to Cincinnati, they have a legitimate chance to make this football team. I mean, you know, we value this guy. We've put a good value on him, and we value his services. And even though you went to the Super Bowl, and you know, theoretically, be like, ah, this team, boy, it's they got a bunch of players. I don't know if I'm going to go compete, for a spot here with the Super Bowl contending football team. But man, you guys have signed people like, in my mind, Raymond Johnson III, Dominique Davis, Alan George. These guys, they belong. I mean, they can play. You guys do a heck of a job of getting your share of talented college free agents that decide to come and compete with the Cincinnati Bengals. How tough a process is that, Duke?
It's a hard process. We don't bring anybody in that we don't think has a trait that has a chance to help us in some capacity, whether it be on the practice squad or as a backup or as a potential starter. They have to have a trait that we value, and then they have to come in and do it. And they know that, we're not handing them the ticket. We're telling them we believe that they have something that can help our football team, but the onus is on them to come in and learn it and perform well when they get the opportunities. And the ones that do that, I think that they understand that they're going to get a serious look. They're not cut before they even start playing. They're going to get a serious look, and they're going to have an opportunity to show what they can do. And I do think we got a pretty good reputation with that. Our coaches have done a great job of not focusing on how the guy gets here, but what they do once they're here. And so we try not to bring guys in the door to start with that we don't believe have some trait that can help us.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at guys like Akeem Davis Gaither, Joseph Osai, the guys that have been nicked up and now here they come and starting to get back physically and starting to perform to the level that you had anticipated, which is a pretty, pretty high level. I mean, there's a couple of guys that can really help your football team that, unfortunately couldn't be as big a part of it as maybe everybody had hoped last year.
Yeah, when you miss time early in your career, that can be a real setback to you. So you've got to refocus, and you got to play the next year as basically your rookie year, which is what Joseph Osai is doing. But he took the time to understand what we're doing. I think he's done a really nice job in getting his body ready to come back and play. I think he's progressed over camp, which is what you want to see. And hopefully he can carry that into the season and provide, some real reps for us as we go. We're going to need that out of a number of these guys that were hurt last year. And he's just one of them, but, Akeem Davis Gaither is another, and there's other guys that we're relying on to provide good snaps when needed.
The battle that's going on at the left guard position, Volson, who had, and Jackson Carman this week, they both have the opportunity to work against Aaron Donald. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that in terms of seeing exactly where you are. Fact is, you need both these guys, right? I mean, you get hung up on, okay, there are five starters, but I'm telling you, over a 17-game season, guys are going to get nicked, and you just hope it's not a significant guy for a long period of time. But, guys may miss two or three or something like that. You have to have somebody else that can step in there and not fall off the edge of the table. I mean, it have to give you that level of play that you're accustomed to, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's why you keep more than five on your roster. Sure. We could keep 9 or 10 on our roster, and maybe another one or two on the practice squad. You need guys developing in the pipeline. You also need guys that are ready to play and step in and have some experience, which our guys do. I think both those guys have done a nice job of competing and trying to apply the techniques that Frank is teaching them. And it hasn't been perfect for anybody. But as that group starts to come together, I think that's good. And I think there's a really good veteran leadership on that group that'll bring it along as we go.
The veteran offensive line guys that you picked up in the offseason, they work together as a group. against the Rams as well that were exceptionally valuable snaps. Were you pleased with what you saw in terms of what those guys may provide as the regular season?
Yeah, you know, I think it was good work. I wasn't pleased with every snap. You never are.
Exactly.
But you're pleased with the work that's being put in and the development that the group is showing, and so those are good things. That group has to play as one, and the more they play next to each other, the better chance we have of having them play as one.
So what about your rookies as well? You signed the offensive line, attacked that in free agency, and then defensively in the draft, Zach Carter, Jeff Gunter, Dax Hill obviously has flashed. I mean, all three of these guys have had their moments. Tyson Anderson, you know, looks like a legitimate football player in the National Football League. You have to be pretty pleased with how the rookies have shown so far, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they've come in, they've steadily earned respect of others on the team. Certainly, they've shown flashes of the things that we saw in them in college. It's a long process for a rookie. It's a very long process, and different rookies, you know, develop at different levels and at different speeds. But we like what we see in those guys. We think that there's going to be real roles for some of them, and that will be good. And we think, you know, what we see is real upside in them, and a chance to continue to improve. They've got traits that you want, and work ethic to get there. So we're pleased with how those guys are coming along.
On Tuesday, next Tuesday, August 30th, by 4 p.m., have to be down to 53 guys on your roster. And that's when, man, you talk about a mass quantity of players that are going to be out there, 32 teams, you know, times what? Almost 30 players, high 20s players roster-wise. That's a lot of people out there. All right, say I'm a player on August 30th. I have to go in and Duke and Mike Brown and others in the organization say it was – gave us everything you had. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Now I'm on the waiver wire. Take me through the process, Duke. What's it like for that player? How long can he be on the – is he on the waiver wires until he's a total free agent? Take everybody through that and refresh us and what's going on there. And has there been any change to what goes on from a mechanics standpoint league-wide?
Not a huge change. You know, the biggest thing is we get to bring 16 of them back to our team. And yep. So you're not really saying goodbye. You're hopeful that they're going to come back to you and yep. be on your practice squad. And so there's different messages to deliver to different players. We like for Zach to talk to all the guys and tell them what the coaching staff thinks of them and what, if any, opportunities are going to exist with us. After the waiver period's over. But you do get to have, you know, it's a tough conversation, but some of them are, you know, it's short term. We hope to have you back. You're going to have your locker waiting for you, you know, if you clear waivers and you want to come back, you know, there's going to be an opportunity for you. So it's a process. At the same time, we're looking at other opportunities that we might have. But the ones that play well normally have the opportunity to go back to their team. And we can't talk to them until we get notification that they've actually been terminated from waivers. So other the team that had them, you know, can obviously express that interest much earlier. So normally the guys will go back to their team if the team wants them. Then after a couple days, you kind of get a sense of who might not be going back. Either they don't want to, or they weren't invited back on the practice squad. And you can then see that group. And is there somebody that we want to add to our practice squad because we think it's an upgrade? But it's a long process for them. There's lots of opportunity in the NFL just because of the roster sizes. And so a lot of these guys will land on their feet in some capacity.
So is that a, is it a 48-hour period still that they're exposed?
Depending on where they're cut, but everybody clears at the same time. Yeah.
Everybody clears at the same time.
From Thursday, Friday, you know, on, everybody that's waived all clear at the same time.
So has it gotten to the point where, I mean, the NFL is still competitive, and what's allowed, not allowed? I mean, can some owner say, oh man, this guy, I got to have him on my practice squad. I'm going to give him 10 grand to be on my practice squad. Are there scenarios out there where guys actually get a kiss to come to somebody's practice squad?
No, the practice squad guys are all making the same amount based on their years of service. So the younger practice squad guys, their amount is set. The veterans that you put on your practice squad, there's a little wiggle room, not much from an NFL money standpoint, but a little bit of wiggle room. But no, there are no signing bonuses or elevated contracts anymore on the practice squad. So it's the opportunity that means the most.
And that's a big change, because the early stages of the practice squad, Duke, there weren't veteran players on those practice squads. Now, are there numbers? Are there restrictions? You have to have X number of, you can only have X number of veteran guys as opposed to X number of these younger players? Or how does that work on the practice squad?
Yeah, it's a complicated process, but the reality of it is you can have six vested guys, vested veterans on your practice squad. And then there's a middle category that's called practice squad exceptions. And those guys kind of fall in the middle level of experience. And you can have up to 10 of those, but you can only have 10 of the combination of veterans and practice squad exceptions. And then you can have normal practice squad eligibility guys, which are the younger guys, the guys earliest in their career. You can have as many of those as you want. So like everything that gets negotiated, it's overly complex, but I think we have a pretty good handle on it.
It's very interesting, man. It's a heck of a busy time. I know the draft is a heck of a busy time, obviously, too. But watching the evolution of the players and the construction of the roster through training camp, and that's why the exhibition games, you know, obviously have merit to guys that are really interested in that aspect of football, and a lot of fans are as well. And it's interesting to see guys. You know, some guys you thought, oh, wow, I can't wait to see him play. They don't quite maybe live up to it. And how do you evaluate that, Duke? You have a guy that you really liked all through college and, you know, you really like what you saw at practice. And he, for whatever reason, there's only three preseason games, and maybe in a couple of them or one of them, you know, it just wasn't there. Do you how much do you allow for? Everybody has a bad day. I mean, it's kind of
we try to look at the whole picture from when the guy first walked in the building to the day that we're at, and you know, so every practice is taken into account. You know, every interaction, how well the guy knows the defense, what his work ethic is, how he's developed, what his technique is. You know, the opportunities, and it depends on the position, but if you're a wideout, sometimes you get opportunities, sometimes you don't. You know, if you're a DB, sometimes you're getting challenged, sometimes you're not. You know, if you're on the line of scrimmage, you know, a lot of times there's more play in and play out evaluation that you can do, you know, for offensive and defensive linemen. But, you know, there's no one element that overrides all the other elements.
Well, you do it as well as anybody, Duke. That's why you're executive of the year. And I'll tell you, it
hopefully
changed.
We can drop that now, because it's a new year, and
you gotta wipe
zero,
the slate clean,
zero,
right?
And we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
I hear you. You got to wipe your slate clean, too. I got you. But it is it's very, very interesting to see. I mean, a lot of core pieces of this football team are the same, and rightfully so. Heck, it's the AFC champion, defending AFC champion. But man, every single season, it's a lot different. And this football team's gonna have a lot of different look to it, you know. And it's very interesting to watch.
No game is easy. We have zero easy games on our schedule, and the other 31 teams have the same thing. It's the NFL, and every game's a grind, and and we've got to find ways to grind out wins, and that's tough to do. And that's the focus of what we do. But these games are going to be close. They always are. That's just the nature of our business. And we've got to find ways to win enough of the close ones.
Absolutely. Can't wait. 13 days from the season opener, Duke.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks.
Good time.
13 days. Can't wait till it's a single-digit day countdown, man. Have the best day you ever had, my man.
All right. I appreciate it, Lap. Nice work.
Thank you.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right.
You know, gotta get that body right.
That's right. Right.
Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.